you, Lord. Amen. Is that your desire this morning? That he fill you? Not just with the Holy Ghost, to the fullness of the Holy Ghost. I just don't want a little bit enough to make me come to church. I don't just want a little bit just to make me be right. You know, I want enough that it will control myself. I'm tired of myself. I need more than just a little bit. Fill me this morning. Thank you, musicians. That is my desire. I'm tired of myself. And it's going to take more of him this morning in order for his work we done in my life. I cannot do it by myself. In fact, I cannot do it at all. I try. It don't work. I need him. And the more the days go by, I need more and more of him. I want that work to get accomplished in my life. And the Holy Ghost is the connection. You know that? Without the Holy Ghost, you have no purpose. Without the Holy Ghost, you are useless. Useless to the work of God. Now, you could be good at work, at school, but to the work of God, you're zero to the left. Because you need the one that leads you, guides you, teach you, and show you all these things. And that's who is that, but God himself, when he takes his abode in his people. Right? So without him, you have no purpose, no reason of being. In fact, you probably just walking in your own illusions or whatever you want to call them, of your own makeup or your own mind. And you think you're right. I'm not. I wasn't. I'm glad that I lost my mind. I got a new one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, I started preaching and I haven't even read a scripture or anything. Let me see if the boys are there in the back. Call them the boys because I'm old enough to call them the boys, but you know. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead. We're going to talk this morning about not the body work. I know Brother Doug been spending time. We're going to talk about the body connection because there's a connection. Yeah. See? We are not only connected to God, but we are connected to each other. And it's kind of a difficult sometimes to consolidate these two things. But that's what I want to do this morning. I want to show you the value and the importance of this connection. So let's go to Ephesians 4:15. And it says, let me get my glasses on here. Because that is the chapter of the body, you know. Paul went and he spoke to the Ephesians. And you know, the Ephesians is the type of the church, the mature church, as according to the message. You know, that don't mean that Corinthians is not good or Galatians, but Ephesians reflects the mature church. See, that's what Paul wrote to them. So he says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up for above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So nothing is left out. He's here. Amen. He fills the whole thing, the universe. He created all that. He says, all that God was, he poured into Christ, and all that was in Christ was poured into the church. See? He filled all in all. For from who the whole body, I forgot that one here, for whom the whole body fitly joined together. Now, if it's joined, there has to be a connection, right? You don't join something if there's not a connection, you know? It has to be a join, but something has to be connected. That's what the join purpose is. Together, we are joined together. We have a connection. See? Compacted, see? It fits together. It's tight. See, it's not loose. There's no reason here to be loose. There's no loose for interpretations. What he said, that's what he meant. And that is tight, you know, and that's what we go by. You know, I don't go by my own reasoning and my own logics. That's too loose. I mean, that just to go from here to east to the west and still room to bring some more stuff in there. He says it's compacted by that which every joint supply. So this joint you know, supplies from here to here to the fingers. There's ligaments, there's blood, there's things running through this joint. Here, the brain commands, and then this joint has to supply to this joint, and this joint has to supply to this joint until it gets to here. But it's a connection. Without that connection, things won't work the way they're supposed to. He says, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part. See? So every part has a work to do. Okay, this is the joint, but every part has a work to do through that joint. That joint is not there just to be there, like, oh, that looks funny. Yeah. But it's there for a reason. So if you're an ear, it's your finger, I don't care where you are, it's still a connection. To the what? To the head that commands everything. To the measure of every part. See? Brother Andy, beautiful, put it Wednesday. You have a responsibility. Oh, you are quiet this morning. We haven't even started yet. You have a responsibility to your duty, to the gift, to what God gave you. That is not for yourself, but as to edify, to the measure. It's not for you. I'm not here for me. Listen, if somebody picks me to like you, you know what happened? Actually, people don't like to listen to people that don't like. Because if you had to pay me to like you, then you would not listen to me. But not just can you pay a teacher? You know, yeah, it's enough money for you to go and take care of these kids. Kids, no. You know, this teacher don't love me. This is all about money. But when you pour your heart in love, he says, edifying himself in what? Love is what made me come this morning here. Why? Because he loved me. And then he gave me something. Now I have something to give. Before I didn't have anything to give. But see, you're not paying me enough to even do that. Because I'm going to do it anyway, you pay me or not. See? Because I do it because the love of God and the love of who? Of the body. He says, unto the edifying of himself in love. There's no other way to edify. If it's not love, it's not edifying. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Once again, thank you for your grace and your mercy in all life. Father, you kept us this week. You fed us. You provide for us. You dressed us. Gave us a place to rest. Gave us food, Father. And you just protected us. You watch over us, Father, to any situation that we went through, knowingly or not knowingly, Father. We thank you because your hand was always watching that word. We are a word. Make flesh. And I thank you that you are there. You will not leave us or forsake us. Sometimes it seems like you're not there, but we don't go by seem or by feelings. We know that you are there. If I feel you, if I see you, if I hear you, it doesn't matter. I know you told me. I'll be there. I will not forsake you. So thank you this morning for being present, ever present, God. Now, Father, according to what you put in my heart, now help me, Lord, take it out of through my mouth and let people be edified to learn and to understand what is your will for us today, Father. Father, we love you. We be with our pastor and be with our families that are out right now, Father, and protect them and keep them and bring them home sound and safe, Father. We love you, Father, and we thank you. For the program. This is your program. And we love it because it's perfect. In Jesus' name we ask you these things. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Listen, talking about connection. I think it's a gray kind of area. You know, I think it is kind of, fuzzy. Because we understand our responsibilities as being a part of a body. You doing your work. Andy just put it that way. You got a responsibility. You have a duty as a part of a body. But you also have a responsibility and accountability to the body because you are connected to a body just as well. You cannot be an island. If you're here this morning, you cannot be an island to yourself. You are here for a purpose and a reason. And that reason is to manifest him. through a lost world out there, and to edify the body in love. Amen. Edify the body in love for what? Because he wants to make his abode in that body. He wants to have control, and he wants to reign in that body. So he can manifest himself to the world. How are we going to do that? You cannot be an island to yourself out there. This is not a one-man quest. This is a body move. So it behooves you to know, to bring this part and how it fits in the whole. And let's merge them together and see what is our perspective. You know, we can come to church, sit down, and that's fine. You know, you can come and sit down and have a good time. And you can be edified. The Holy Spirit comes down and you scream and you yell. That's good. I like that and I do that too. You can run. You can do whatever you want to. But when you leave this church, if that's all you have accomplished in your life, if that's all the Spirit of God has accomplished, then that's just to check a box. I had a good time. It was good. I liked the preaching. Then what? I can put you in a cage, like Brother Brown says. Not you, but a bird. And you feed him. Give him all the nutrients and all the waters and all the mineral. And then keep him locked in there. This big, healthy wings, healthy animal, and cannot even fly. Cannot soar, you know, to the heavenlies. So, what good it is to be fat, not physically, spiritually. I'm not calling anybody fat, but to come to church and be fat in the spirit and have a good meal, a 7-meal course, you know, brother Doug and Andy, and then we spread it all out there and we feast. And you're getting stronger. If you have nothing to do, or you cannot use that for nothing else but to edify yourself. A man, a human being like you and me, that believes that he's a person unto his own, you know, he has no purpose. I didn't have no purpose. You didn't have no purpose once before. Actually, you have a purpose now. So without, you know, before you thought you was you, and you was you against everybody else, and oh, whoa, me, you know, everybody attacks me, and I am, I'm not the problem, you know, they are the problem, you know, and you try to tackle the world out there by your own self, you know, because you thought that you were right. From your perspective, you were right. But see, you still had no purpose. Because you was looking for a purpose. And the reason you're here is because you was looking for something greater than you. In fact, you had no purpose, you had no reason of being. And that's what young people, they start growing up. What do you think they're looking for? They're looking for a purpose in their life. See, it is all right. You know, as soon as they are, you know, under mom and dad, you know, it's fine. Mom and dad will teach all the way till you get to about 12 years old. And they respond, right? But after they become teenagers, teaching is over. Because you tell them what to do and they don't do it. The teaching is over. The first 12 years is the teaching part. This next, whatever, to 19, 20, it becomes training. So you don't teach them anymore, but you show them what to do, you know, by your own examples. And you let them make their own mistakes. And then you correct him. And then you tell him, but if you go that way, this is what's, let them make a choice. And if they make a mistake, you're training them. The Bible said to train your child, not to teach. The word is train. So you can teach them all the way to 12 years. They follow you. You're the greatest dad. You're better than that dad. And you can take that. And you can beat that one. And you're my superhero. After 12 years old and you get a teenager now, what happened to all that? See, you taught them what to do, you know, in the ways of the Lord. And now after 13, 14, 15, now you have to let, you know, back up and train them in the way they should go, and we never depart. Because you cannot tell people, you know, what to do. You can suggest. And better with your own life, you can you know, tell him, this is what I mean. See? Oh, this is better for you. This choice is better for you. But you have to make the choice. So, a human person without that is completely useless. I said without the Holy Ghost, without the Holy Spirit, because you have no purpose, and the Holy Spirit cannot work with someone that he has no connection. It has to be a connection. Why do you think I was so rebellious when I was in my teen years? Because I had no connection with God. I believed in God. I went to church, but I had no connection. So I was lost. Even though I came to church, I was undone without hope and without Christ. If I would have died in Vietnam, I would have went to hell. Because I haven't even accepted the Lord at 19 years old. But God has some other things for me. He will not allow for one of his sons to die before he at least repented and said, I need you. So, until then, without the Holy Ghost, there's no connection. And we are useless. And that's why we preach so much about the Holy Ghost. You cannot wait until you are 30 years in this message and said, well, whoop, made a mistake. Well, what happened to the connection? After all those years, you've been trying and trying, and it was never a true connection. Well, it tells that it wasn't, because how can you leave that you profess to be your life and everything else? Oh, yeah, but they don't leave. They go back to denomination. Same thing. They don't have any connection. See, they don't have any connection. There's only one connection. Jesus, when he got to the Jordan River, and John was going to baptize him, you know, he has to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Read your account in Luke. It says, when he saw the dove, then Luke says, the Spirit. See, he had to be baptized. And let me tell you, he could not start the ministry. He could not do any work. He was useless. He was Jesus. He was God in flesh. He needed to have the Holy Ghost to start his ministry. That's what Brother Brown said. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you have no business here. In fact, you don't have no business anywhere without the Holy Ghost, because you are not going to make it. Because that is the one that leads. That is the one that trains us and teaches us the things that we need to know. And this morning, it's my voice, but I'm hoping I get out of the way so the Holy Spirit in my life will speak to your Holy Spirit. You don't need me to teach you anything, but the Spirit that is in me will give witness to your spirit that is the Word of God, but it's not me. And if I don't have the Holy Spirit, how is the Word going to get done? Even if you don't have it, how are you going to receive? I cannot give and you cannot receive. We think we're doing it. But the proof is in the pudding. What happened a few years later? Where are these people? It wasn't nothing to hold them. It was no connection. We have a special connection with God. We have a line. You know, I have a phone line, you know. And every time I pick up that line, you know, he's talking to Gabriel and Michael. He said, hold on, I got a call. They are more important than anything else. Hold your thoughts, they'll be back. You know, hello? Lord, yes. I need you. See, I have a connection. But here's what I'm talking about. What good is to have a connection? And I'm this tight with God. I love God and God loves me. And then all the blessings come down. That's good. You can be blessed. And you know, and you can feel the Holy Ghost. And you can be healed. You can, all the blessings are yours. You know, but what about if the buck stops right here? See, that's a part. You are a part. I'm a part. I'm a part. I'm the head of my household. God bless me. I pray for them. And I make sure that they have everything that they have need of. I take care of them. See, that's my part, to be responsible for what God has given me. You know, and that's fine. But if everything that I get, you know, I am blessed and I live out of here blessed, and that's all it is, then what happens? You get fat spiritually, and look at how nice I look. Oh, you know, and we start puffing up. See, you have to have this connection, because the Bible said if you said that you love God and you hate your what? That means there's no connection to what? To the guy that is next to you. When you come to church, there's a connection this way, but it's a connection this way. And the reason you're here is not only to connect with Him. You have to connect with Him, heavenly places, but you have to also connect with your brothers and your sisters. Because if you don't connect, then what is your purpose? It's not a one-man rapture. What is your purpose? Your purpose is to edify your brother and your sister so we can grow all together to the head that is Christ Jesus. So you have to have a connection this way, and you have to have a connection this way. What happens sometimes, we come to church, and I'm not talking about you, but whatever. And we think, you know, oh, I've had a good time, then I go home. And we get kind of secluded. We come to church, and then we run. Me, I'm the first one. I finish right here, and I boom. And if I see you in my way, I hug, you know, blah, 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 and, you know, small talk. Because we don't feel connected, I guess. This is what I'm trying to say. We need to feel connected. Amen. See? And we go to the car and see you Wednesday. What happened? Oh, I love you, Lord. And what about this connection? Did you took time? We have the newest addition, at least the newest for me, Brother Andy back there. We have two Andys now. I don't know. I forgot your last name. That's what I call you, Andy. See, how many of you know that he's here? Let me see your hands. How many know? That's not even one third. Oh, you have not made yourself your acquaintance with him. He's connected to you. The fact that he's coming to church and decided that this was to be the church and the pastor and you are the congregation, you should be connected to him. How many knew that his name was Andy? Okay, that's not you. What about the rest of you? So what did you come to church? Let me tell you something. Church is not for me to understand, but you to understand me. This has nothing to do with me. It has something to do with him. So when you come to church, why don't you start spending your energies trying to understand the one that is next to you? Because he will be blessed and you will be blessed when you help others. Don't come here expecting for me to help you. Why don't you come and try to help me? You need to pull. You need to help me. You didn't come here for me. Let me see what I'm going to get from this guy. You didn't come here for me to see, okay, what is your need? And let me understand your problem and your situation. No, why don't you understand somebody else's problem and somebody else? Why don't you reach out this morning before you run to your car and whoever God puts in your way? I love my brother. He always tells me, seek him, boy, seek him. Why don't you find that man or that woman that God will put in your way? That sometimes we just go like this. And get acquainted with him. And don't tell him what your needs are. Find out what he needs. And find out what she needs. And see how you can be a service to that person. That is a connection. That is a connection. God will give us all this blessing and all these promises. Listen, it's not for you to keep them and put them in a little box. And I hope nobody steals my box. You know, I better protect it. You know? So, what happened to the body? So the body, it gets to the point that it gets weak. You know? We want a body that grows and is strong. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen at the end when you have that kind of a body. When everybody's concerned about everybody. If you know somebody's offended, you don't say, well, I tried. I'm done. No. Go work at it until. Because the problem is not you, maybe. As we believe more, that is the problem. But when Brother Brown says, I know that somebody said something wrong about me, that I know they did, I will take him to the throne of glory, shoulder to shoulder. And I'm going to find out, when I'm there trying to plead my case, I'm going to find out that I have something to do with that. See? Whatever we do, whatever we say, affects each other. Even if you think you are connected or disconnected, it doesn't matter. This is not, you know, God created the universe. This is what Paul says over here. Says, He that descended is the same also that ascended. So, if that is the truth, and he fills everything, all things, so that means you are not an entity to yourself. If you said you are filled with the Holy Ghost, then that means that you are part of something. And then Colossians says, for through him, God created everything, he says, created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things that we cannot see. That's a spiritual connection. We cannot see those. Such as thrones, kingdom, rulers, and authorities on the unseen world. Everything was created through him and what? And for him. Amen. So the only thing that happens this morning is that you hear because he pulled you in. You did not connect it with God. We were not even looking for God. He wanted a connection. The Bible said that God needed to have a purpose and a reason. You are the purpose and you are the reason that God needed so he can manifest himself. Without you, and you say, well, that's impossible. Without you, God is not complete. He needs a connection. See, we all connected to God by the Spirit. But then we all connected to each other as a body. Because in the mind of God, this is not a one person thing. It is a body. So when we come to church, I'm trying to break that mentality that, you know, I come to church and I matter. You know, we all matter. In fact, you're not playing by yourself. You know, go and play some tennis or golf or whatever you want to play, football by yourself without a team. Let me see how many goals you're going to make. Let me see how many bones they're going to break. You know what? You need a team. There's a purpose and there's a goal. You know, make points. And I'm going to have a team that's going to help me to make those points. Everybody has different gifts and different talents. But the purpose is that we come to church and we make the goal. And the goal is that we all together, we can, you know, edify during the service, during the preaching, during the teaching, during the singing, even when we pray at home, you're still connected. This is a mystical body. You never, never disconnected. I want you to create that mentality because you are never, and if you think you are, that you don't owe anybody anything. Well, I come to church, but don't talk about me and don't ask me. I do what I want and you don't have to know. It's not your business. This is personal. Oh my goodness then. What are we coming to church for? If you're going to act that way, you need to get your own group or go at it by yourself. Because when you're sick and you're dying or somebody's dying, who are you going to come? You're going to find a body somewhere. When things go wrong, you're going to find someone to help you, right? So how can you be alone? In the beginning, Adam was alone. The Bible says so. God says so. You know why? He was missing a connection. He was purposeless. He had no reason. Even though the whole creation is there, animals, and he was in charge, he was missing a connection. See? And if you come to church and you are not missing a connection, there's something wrong. See? And he said, Lord, you know, I don't know what's going on. I know, yeah, you brought all these animals. I named them. I got work, things to do, but my mind is just, I don't understand. Something is missing. Because in the beginning, he made them one, two. But then he took one out, so he's missing a connection. Amen. See, that's all. Why? Because God was lonely at the beginning. Yes. Brother Brown said he was. He was out there with his own what? Thoughts. Now, how that will work when you come to church and you worship in your own reason, in your own thoughts, in your own logic, and then you go home. You'll be like a lonely bird anyway. Because once you go home, there's nobody around. So you fellowship with yourself. You edify yourself. You just can't do that. See, if I had all the gift, then I can edify myself. I will lay hand on me and I don't even call you. But you know, God made it that way. So you need me and I need you. When things going wrong, when things going bad, when things going indifferent, when things going good, I need you anyway. Because if I can edify myself, if I have all the gift, I don't need Kenny. I cannot play like Kenny. But if I could, I don't need Kenny. If I can preach, you know, and you all can preach, let's go home. We just get in the line, you know, in the internet, and we preach to each other. I don't know who we're going to preach to if we're all preachers. So there's no purpose. God was purposeless, and the Bible said that he made himself a human being, so he has a purpose and a reason. And if that was God, what about you? You are not a lonely person here. If you are a sister and a man full of the Holy Ghost, you cannot be lonely because you have a connection. What we have to do is understand the value and the importance of those connections. See, I hate to say this, but why people don't come to church? They're connected, right? Maybe the connection is not as strong and binding like a wife and a husband. If I care that much for God and his people, I want to be where they are. Amen. So I can see what I can do for them. Because my service to you, that's how I get blessed. See? By doing for others. If you don't come to church, then I'm just wondering what is the degree of the understanding of this connection. I'm not saying that without God and lost. I'm saying they got God, and what happened is that, you know, this is a military tactic. You know what the military tactic is? Satan will use it. He likes to separate first. And then he wants to boycott. No water, no food, you know, take you way away from the what? From the body. And then he takes everything away from you, take your blessings. And then he takes the word, and you say, well, I got the word at home, I got the tape, yes, how that is working. No fellowship, no nothing. And then you take a little, you know, what you call that when you barbecue, and a little piece of charcoal, that is, when they're all together, they're bright, and it's hot, and warm. You can come and warm yourself, see? And then you take one of those, and you put away at there. What happened after a while? So what happened with people that don't want consistently when they can come to church? It's a trick of the devil. He wants to alienate you way, seclude you way out there, and then tell you how it is strong, and now you're right, and then you get cold. And call, and call, and you cannot come to worship. Why? Because Satan got you. He raises some walls. Walls in your own mind. They become prisoners of their own mind. They need somebody to go and lose them. So as soon as a man out there, a woman, or God, a son and a daughter of God, has breath on them, it is your responsibility to go and find out what's wrong with it. It's not the pastor's responsibility. You don't pay the pastor enough to do that. And if you pay him and he do it because you pay him, that's not good. I don't want him in my house if he come because he has to. If he don't love me. Listen, it is your responsibility to straighten things out. Because the body needs to grow. The body needs to have a healthy relationship that comes with a good, strong connection. When the connection is weak, so is the relation. And then you don't see him. You need to make sure that you don't come here just because you. What about everybody else? You know, without everybody else, it won't be no you. The reason God sent a prophet is because you and you and you. God did not need to send a prophet to have a one-man rapture. God was looking for some connections. You know, he was trying to connect himself, you to him. This is what the Bible says. So this connection is what give meaning and give us a reason and exist to be. Without this, when I was out in the world, I was wondering, what is my purpose? What I'm doing here? What I'm supposed to do when I grow up? What I'm supposed to be? I didn't have no purpose. I could come up with a lot of things, but every time that I accomplished that, I was still as empty as I was when I started. Because nothing out there would have satisfied me. It was only one thing that could satisfy my heart, and that was God. In the meantime, I had no purpose. I thought I had a purpose. I got married, and I thought, well, this should work out. Then I have children. I said, no, this is not working out. I thought that that was going to bring me, you know, give me some sense of purpose and existence. But this is what I was created for. It didn't. I got worse. Not that my family got worse. I just got deeper and deeper into nothing. Because I couldn't find something that will give me this reason. So God gave me reason when he made this connection. He came for me. Because without this connection, says life bear no purpose and reason, and your reality will be disordered. It will not be clear. It will be all in pieces. The only one that can give purpose to your life is Him. Beside Him, you live in the illusion life. It's not real. It is a makeup of your own mind, or my mind. See, sometimes we experience ourselves. We come to church and we experience God, and we experience our feelings with God, and that's okay. But if we experiencing all this separated from the rest, now listen to me, because I'm trying to make this clear. If you're experiencing God, that's good, and you are having a good time, that's good. But if you are experiencing all that separated from your brother and your sister, you got nothing. Because when you came, you don't came as a person. Did you come here because I'm here and I'm by myself and me and moi and four and no more? That's it? The reason you came here is because you wanted to join. You wanted to connect. And connecting has a responsibility and has an accountability to me and me to you. In love, to be truthful, to be honest, and to be sincere. That is how we're going to grow. As a body. Now, you might be growing independently. You know, your relationship with God, you know, you're learning and you're growing. But if you are the only one growing and everybody's staying behind, then what good it is? Well, that's their problem. Let Mark grow over there, and let Michael grow over there, and I'm over here. How that's going to bring us together? That will separate us. Because now, Mark says, well, I know more than Eli, and everybody knows more than me anyway. I might say, well, I know more than you and Mark and, you know, together. What is that going to bring us? Knowledge do not bring you together. Intellectualism don't bring you together. Your thought don't bring you together. The only one that can bring you together, me and you, is the Holy Ghost in our life. So if you come with that mentality that I'm not here because by myself, you know, I'm here because I'm a group. A body. Then when you start worshiping, you start affecting the one that is next to you. See? Wake him up. When you come to church, now you affect that one in your left and one in your right. If you think that you came and you are the only one that counts, what happened to the rest of all? They do their own thing and you do your own thing, and that's what God called us to do, our own thing. You are responsible for the guy next to you. And you're responsible for that sister next to you, so she can have an experience just like you. Amen. If you came just for you to have an experience, good. That's nice. I like it. You know, then you go to the car, and what happened? What was the connection there? Oh, I was connected to God. Yes, I know. I know you did. I saw you. You had a good time. But what that, you know, that's all right. Sometimes we need to get out of order just a little bit, just so we can get something out of the world, God. So, if we experience ourselves and our thought, you know, separated from the rest, then we're living in our own little world. I've been coming to church for 30 years now since I know this message. I'm not saying that I'm special. But the reason, you know, that I enjoy coming to church is because I cannot wait to be with you. Now, listen to me. I need you. I need you. I need your support. I need for you when I'm down to help me up. You come and sing the song of Zion when I'm depressed, when I'm stressed, when I'm delirious sometimes. I need you to make an atmosphere, you know, so you can lift me up. You lift this brother up, that brother. Listen, Brother Branham said, one of these days, they're going to be a line in the back door, in the door, trying to get in. Brother Alvaro, how many people were line up this morning? None? Okay, yes. Shame. What are you waiting for? God to fulfill that? God have your legs and your feet and your hand to fulfill that? It's you that got to fulfill that. Are we at the end time or not?
Yes.
Then when is the line going to start? I'm waiting for somebody else to start. Okay, good luck. But don't you be the first. I'm not saying that, you know, you have to be here at 9 and service starts at 10. I didn't say that. I just tell you what your prophet said. There will be a line. Now, what about this one? You come to church, and then when service is over, you cannot leave. I mean, you hate to separate from your brother. It says, oh, I miss you already, and we had to leave. We just got started. Please, I can wait so we can meet. Give me a hug. I don't know, but I miss you already. I just came in, but I already miss you. How many of you feel that way? One hand? Okay. We're improving now. Are we connected or are we not connected? So when church is over, well, let me do my thing. So what is this? Sister, I miss you. I really miss you today. I was sitting with brother. He's not here, but I'm not talking about him because he's not here. Don't put that. But it just happened. Brother Santo was here, and I was sitting right there. I move around. Some of you like to find the same little crowd that you are comfortable with. Go ahead, look at me. But that's what you like. You always around your family and those that you like. Now, he sits here all the time. So it's not his problem. It's the people that sits around him. See? I move around. So one Sunday I decided that I was going to sit there. How many of you have sat in this? Some of you are always in that side. Yeah, once in a great while. I move around. You know why? Because I want to be a blessing to that person next to me. So, Santos, I was here. No, my wife was here because she was here, Sister Santos, so I had to let them. Then Nathaniel, Jonathan, Brother Santos, and I was at the end. They came in after I was already sitting down. So I was glad because I wanted to have fellowship with the people next to me. That's what you come for, or you come to have fellowship with God? What about the person next to you? Do you love him that much? I mean, this is a connection we're talking about, a body. So I was so glad because then something happened to the service and my wife shake her hand, she smiled, and then she shake my hand, I smiled and said, thank you for your smile, sister. I felt connected. I did feel connected at that point because that's where I came. So if I'm sitting someplace else next time, beware. Because you're going to feel, you know, when I come to church, I want to feel the energy. I want to feel the connection. I want to feel that you love me and I love you. I want to feel, you know, God next to me. Or you think you're the only one that brought God into this service? You're just a part. But if you join my part and you join everybody's part, we might can have some service. I'm going to get there. We will have some service. Amen. So what is your love for one another that when the service is over, you cannot depart? Your prophet said that. I'm not making things up. Where is your love for one another that when you leave, you can't even leave because you're already missing them? Are we there? Okay, sin. We got some work to do. That means you have to die out to yourself and, you know, live for somebody else. Are you getting where I'm going with this?
Yes.
It is not a one mentality. Yeah, we're supposed to become one. Not that we are one. It's a body mentality. It says, so if we are coming, having a good service, you're feeling good, you song, the Son of Zion, everything is peachy, I felt the Spirit, and that is from the rest of the, you know, body that is around you, then there's something wrong. The delusion is like a prison. People live in the prison of their own minds, see? Because they perceive things different. We all perceive things different. But that's fine. God made me the way I am. God make you the way you are. But also God wants to what? To bring us together. So the only way he can do that is through his word, through his Holy Spirit. So that means my thought has to die out. My thinking, how things should be, has to die out. I have to die out to myself in order so I can be alive in him and have a connection with you as well. So, let me go to, it's getting warm. I have to take this jacket off pretty soon. So if we are Christians and we come into church, our, oh, this is not the one. It was the other one that had a hook. Okay. So if we come to church and we profess to be Christians, sons and daughters of God, then what is more beautiful than trying to establish a connection when we come to church? What is more beautiful than, you know, connection with everybody around us? Okay, that's why we came. We want to make a connection with God, but we want to connect with his children. See? So that's beautiful if we come with that kind of a mentality. You see? And when we do that, then we have a healthier relationship. It is not, you know, brother Andy? Well, yeah, I know he came the other day, his family, his wife. I already know where they're from. I already know what they eat because I was asking, you like rice? Because if you don't like rice, you're not nice. I eat rice all the time. She said, I like it once in a while. I said, that's okay. I still like you. And I know what her husband was working, when he was coming. I always have a chance that when I see her, I will talk to her. See, I'm that way. Cliff. I hope that don't embarrass you, Cliff. Okay. Okay. I'm saying this because this is what happened. When I was in the other tabernacle, you know, for a little while, Cliff came. I didn't know who Cliff was. He was out there in the world doing whatever, like I did, and we all did. So he came in, and I started noticing this young man, you know. That was about 20 years ago. So I said, And I heard, you know, what happened, where he was playing, and then somebody witnessed to him, not witnessed, but went and cared enough about him that got him out of there, back to church. The connections, some people are disconnected. And who's going to connect them if it's not you or me to go and care enough, to love them enough, to connect them back to the church? Not so much to the church, but you know what I'm talking about, to him. Because they are kind of disconnected for a little while. Satan play a good one and they get a, you know, it has a nice punch waiting and they get disconnected for a while. They're still, they are what they are. And then I seen him, and one day I was coming through the back door. I was parking the basket, the car back there in the tabernacle. And I came through the door. There's a kitchen and there's a hallway, the fellowship. And way about 20 feet out there is Cliff. I don't know what he was doing there. God put him over there, I guess. Cliff, okay, this is my opportunity. So I got close to him. I probably scared him anyway. He was younger, and I was younger too. I had black hair then. So I said, Cliff, I want to know you a little better. If you think I'm telling you true, you talk to Cliff. I said, Cliff, I want to know you in a more personal way. I know I see you. I know who you are. I know your name, but I don't know who you are. I know about you. So Cliff says, okay, what do you have in mind? I said, well, you know, I'm going to invite you to the house on Mondays. My children's going to be there, Kenny and Tina and Monica and Steven and my other son. I said, come. And don't come without your violin. If you don't bring your violin, you're not welcome. Because I already knew he played. So he came in that Monday. And we had a good time. I met him. I already knew who he was. I met him, but I started to know more because I wanted to know. It's all it is. But Brother Doug got here, and he can tell you, and I'm not telling you that I'm better than you. I'm saying the first person that invited Brother Doug when he came here 20 years ago, you ask him, because that was me. I see people coming to church, and the first thing I said, I don't want them to sit there like I did for 5 years before somebody knew who I was. I want to connect as soon as possible. I want to make him feel comfortable, and I want to make him feel welcome. Who's going to do? God going to do that for you? It is you. God through you. So next thing happened, I went to church later on. After this incident with Cliff, he went to the house, and his mom, because his dad just passed away, mom come and she told me, and I was kind of surprised because we hardly talk. See, that's what's happened. You know, there's no connections. Some clicks here and there, and there's no connection. Anyway, we want to break. We're going to bust those clicks. So she said, thank you, brother. I said, why? You know, I was just praying that something like that would happen to him. He's just being so alone and had no friends. And this is the best thing that had happened to him. So you never know. Am I just following a leading? I had a yearning to know him. You know, I want to know more. Now, what do you think? You come to church. We don't gossip here. We don't see what are you doing and how you're dressing. I want to know, how can I serve you? How can I be a service to you? And that's what I've been my entire life. I'm not better than you. That, I don't know why, but that's, you ask my daughters, and you say, oh, my dad, he brings everybody from the street to the house to eat. I don't do. See? And that's what Tina is like it is. Tina don't bring and have all this little get-together because she made it up. She saw something. Real. Because you teach them. You train them. See? Tina is not all her. She has her own little things, but she has a lot of me. So let's talk about... Let's see what time I have. Okay. So church, you know, we need to work in relationship. We need to work in the connection. We have a strong connection with God, and we want to have a strong connection with the children of God. There's no other way. So, when we come to church and we look around, you know, and then we start understanding and talking to others and trying to help others, and you being kind and loving and you interested in what, you know, sometimes that is a problem. Americans, you know, I don't know. We have a mentality. America has a mentality. You're trying to ask somebody a question and right away they close in. You know, they have been to so many, you know, things in their life. They have been in problem because, you know, they talk to, and they don't know who they're talking to, and then suddenly everybody knows, so they can trust, you know, it is hard for one man to trust another man to begin with. But when you come to the point that you just shut yourself up completely like a poop walls, you know, when somebody approaches you, you're trying to, okay, you kind of a light, kind of a conversation. You never get nowhere. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We cannot even have a strong relationship between brothers and sisters. Why? Because we don't trust the other person. Why? Are we the children of God or not? Amen. We are. Amen. And we're supposed to help each other? Yes. Amen. So we're supposed to confess and for one another? Yes. Amen. So we should have enough confidence. I mean, how many years were we coming together here? Sure. That if I go to you, Brother Henry, I say, I got something to tell you. But it's between you and me. But I need some help. I should have enough confidence in him, my brother, to help me with my situation. Amen. And I put it all the way in Facebook so everybody will know. So we need to be aware of one another's needs. And you will not learn that until you go straight to that person and say, hello, how you doing? I've been thinking about you. I've been praying for you. You know, that thing that happened to you that day, you know, I'm praying for that. Then you come and say, yeah, but I don't know, that church don't love me, they don't pray for me, I don't feel connected. Why? Because when we're trying to connect, sometimes it's the other way around. It's not all your fault. It's the other way around. People have gone through so many things in life that they shut themselves up in their own minds. But it's up to you to have, you know, to talk and give them enough confidence that they can talk to you. And they will not do that just by, because you're my brother. They have to see a life live like Christ, a life live, so they can have confidence, not in you, but in the Holy Spirit in your life. And he says, and he gave some apostles, that's 11, Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting, to bring you to maturity. The reason we are here is to bring you to maturity. What maturity? The head, that is Christ. So the closer we get to the head, the stronger the connection should get. For the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry. So not only the responsibility that we have here to equip you, you know. Not only that, but we've got people also. So you can do the work. So we can do the work, you know, and edify and grow like a group. I'm going to get there because we are not, we're almost to the end of things. And it's not going to be you by yourself that's going to, I'm ready. Can we get raptured? If we are not all together, you ain't going nowhere. So it behooves us to work into that group thing. Because it's the group mentality, it's the body, it's the bride mentality. The Bible don't say that Eli was going to be raptured. It says the bride, the group, the elect. I'm part of that elect. You part. But unless we grow together and connect together and grow to that purpose. So it's not for me to wait for you to catch up with me. I should drag you if I had to. Go back there, you know, hey, you need some help? Because if you don't make it, I am going to spin my wheels until. He says the responsibility to equip God's people so they can do the work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Now listen to what Brother Brown says. The voice of the sign. Preaching is a gift. So he ascended, the one that descended, ascended, and he gave one gift to all man. This is a gift. Inspire preaching. See? And the gift, some are apostles, some are prophets, some are teachers, some are pastors, some are evangelists. That's the gift that is in the church. See? But it's possible we could have more than one. Like Paul and all this, you know. I'm not the only preacher here. Andy's here. God choose how many it's going to be. But that's God choosing. It's not my choosing. He says, as long as there's a prophet, as long as there's an apostle, there got to be a what? A prophet. He says, as long as there's a prophet, there got to be an what? Evangelist. Why? It's a ministry. It's a minister, see? There is a pastor, an evangelist, but there is no prophet. See, that's what they're saying. See, why it is, minister says there is a pastor and it's an evangelist, but there's no prophet. See, that picking what you want to, making it say something it doesn't. But God is his own interpreter of his own word. So we don't need the ministry. We don't need the pastor. We don't need the evangelist. We don't need to do mission any longer. We don't need to spread the gospel. We got one, and that's the prophet, and we don't need everybody else. But that's not what he's saying. Because Satan likes to what? Separate. See? How are you going to grow if you don't have a church and a place to go? But you say, but the prophet is the evangelist, the pastor, the everything. He marries everybody. He's gone. He will marry you. He will baptize you. How? So you know what you're doing? You're segregating. That's what Satan, that's a tactic. That's not the spirit of God. The spirit of God is to connect, not to disconnect people. And with these things, he says, till we come. See, this is the reason we have the ministry. If we don't have the ministry, then the Bible might as well take this page and throw it out, toss it. Till we come to the unity. It's not Eli unity with Eli and his wife and four no more. That's not what it says, right? If you have to unite, you have to have somebody else. Amen. So it behooves you to start working in what? In uniting with somebody else. It is not you or your husband and no more. That's a unity. That's fine. But you ain't going to go nowhere. That's not the unity it's talking about. The Bible talks about oneness. One God, one spirit, one, you know, spirit, one baptism. Okay, but we are all connected to that. He is the one. He is the source. You know, we all came out of him. And we all will go back there again as one. So how are we going to act like we are one in our own self? When the Bible said we have to have... So I'm getting to my preaching here. If there's no unity in the church... Okay, you said we got 80%. That's not good. Oh, we had 90. That's not... Either we have unity in the church or we don't grow. You might get a little smarter when brother preaches. But if we don't grow, I don't care how much you think you know. Because you're not going to go in the rapture by yourself. This body needs to grow to that rapturing mentality, maturity that is Christ. So you have to help me. I got to help you. And now we're not going to live here. The time is coming. Where are those that cannot leave each other after the service? That are missing each other? That they are making a line? Because they're not making a line to come to hear me preaching. You know what they're coming in? They're making a line. They want to see each other. When we get to that kind of unity, then there will be a voice. It's not going to be your voice. It's not going to be your voice. It's not going to be your voice. The voice will be in the group. And when we get to that voice, I got ahead of my preaching anyway. When we get to that voice, you come to church, it says, and whatever you need, and we can agree, the voice, not your, that you have a good relationship with God and you pray at home and you get healed and minor stuff. But when the voice, then ask whatever you want. Listen, we are not talking about your voice when we come to church. We're talking about the body. So we need to create this mentality that we are not just me. Oh, I'm important. I'm a part. But by myself, I'm nothing. I need to have the group. So if we're going to live here, Brother JJ, we are not leaving one here, one there, one over there. It's a group. But the whole group has to be in a mentality, you know, and a togetherness, and a connection, and a strength, and a relationship that you know, this is what this place do. It's just bring you up together to connect you. We are not going to connect one at a time. Either we connect all together, because this is a body move. Still we come to the unity of our faith. Who faith? Your faith? Your faith? No. His faith. The faith that was brought to us, that Jude's talking about it. See, we are going to bring this ministry and the gift. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. It should bring all of us to that faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. That is the only way we're going to have one mind, one accord. We're saying the same thing, and we're feeling the same thing. You know why we don't feel the same thing? We are not connected in that level. We are connected in another level. It's my church, Lord Divine, my pastor, my brother. But that level is fine. But that's not the only level that I want to be connected. I want to be connected in that level where it is not my faith any longer. It is the faith of Christ. Because that is the rapturing faith. So I need your faith. I need you whatever little bit of lick of fire. We need to bring them all together. The voice will be there, and we will call the resurrection. God is not waiting. We're not waiting in God. You know what God is waiting? For us to connect. So it behooves us to come to church, you know, and figure out, you know, how are we going to do these things. It says, It says, "To will come to the unity and the knowledge of the Son of God." Okay? That's what this office will do. We will bring you all that unto a perfect man, to bring you to maturity and to the measure. See, I want to be like Christ. We sing that song, "I want to be like to the measure, the stature of Christ. I want to be like him." This is what we're doing in church. We have gifts. We have preachers. You come to church. We be united. And then we grow together to the stature of a perfect man, that is Christ Jesus. This is not a one-man program. It is a one, but that's God. But we are all together in these things. He says, and 13 said, "This will continue until we all come to such unity." So as long as we don't come to that unity, we will sit here until. The rapture is past due, but we sit here until we come to that unity. One mind, one accord. We cannot even agree with our wife so far, but that's okay. Not 100%, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking agreeing with the word. Forget if you're white, black, brown, yellow. They had nothing to do with colors. They had nothing to do with ethnic groups. It has to do with him. And in him, we all one, and there's no one greater than the other one. We all the same. Till we get to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to the knowledge of, to the maturity, to the measuring up, to the full and complete standard of Christ. Okay? Brother Branham says, he says, God provided a place to worship. The church will come through justification. See, God is building this bride. Through Luther, through sanctification, through Wesley, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and to Pentecostal. And go right into perfection. That's where we are. No excuse. Of the Son of Man. That when a husband and a wife will be the same self person. Oh my. I'm looking forward to that. That my wife be like me. Don't tell her that. That she will think like me. She will act like me. I haven't been able to do that. Every time I think I have it figured out, she changed the rules of the game. Then I had to start all over again. So I stopped. I stopped trying to figure her out. He says, husband and wife will be the same sub person. God will be so manifested into the what? No, the bride, the bridegroom. That's not you. That's not you. That's the whole thing. So either we all grow towards that kind of a maturity and unity until God can manifest himself through there. Not to JJ. Personally, we do that. We have a personal walk. You go to work, you go to school, you go home, you have to walk like he wants you to walk. You have to live, you have to convert the way he wants you. But that is your personal walk. But that's not all in there. That's what I want to break, that mentality. That this thing is more than you, greater than you. It is a whole thing, and you are a little part of it. And until this whole thing grows up to that, we stay here. We see, until he gets to himself, God will be manifested into his bride. My church, till they will both be the same. See, to be like Christ. To a maturity that will be like what? Like him. You don't see Eli anymore. You see him in me. The way I act, the way I talk, the way I converse, the way I treat you. You will not see me anymore. You see him. That's what we want to grow. That is the maturity that I'm looking for. But we all must get to that point or we're not living here. God will not entrust a voice to a bride that is halfway there. Halfway are out and halfway are in. What kind of a voice will be that? That's two voices. A wife and a husband is just one voice. Okay, one agree with me. A man and a wife come together, and after a while, it will be one. If she's the one that said, "But I'm the voice," and he said, "I'm the voice, and you better do what I said," and she said, "I'm not going to do it, I got my own thing." How many voices are there? when they come together, this one boy, they both agree. I'm not saying one demanding from the other one. They both got to the point. Amen. This connection is so tight. It's so perfect. It's so mature that they are thinking the same thing. You think it's possible, Andy, that you and Julie get to that point? Yes, you're going to get to it. This is what the training is all here for. It is not for you to separate, but you to connect stronger than ever. A strong bond with you and your brothers and sisters, and then with him. So if you said, I got a strong bond, I got a strong relationship with God, show me. That's all. Don't preach to me a sermon, show me. How strong is your relationship with God? Because he says when we get to that point, she will do the same thing that he will do. It will be the same. So right now, the way I see it, sometimes at church we got too many thoughts going around, too many voices. We need to quit that stuff. He says, now there are one. See, like it was in the beginning. There was him and her, Adam and Eve, but they were one. So you and I, we are becoming one with what? With God and with each other. So what should be our mentality this morning? I'm looking for a place to start. We're looking at the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelling here. If that's what you want, because that's what I want. I don't want me anymore. I want him to manifest himself in the body. So this is not Eli walk, brother dog, Andy walk, or John. This is our walk. So as a church, if you chose this to be your church, you have a responsibility to each other so that we can walk together. And you cannot walk together if you do not agree together. That's what the Bible said. I'm not giving you something that I made up. I don't have that much of a brain to make things up. If two cannot agree, do you agree with your brother today? Oh, forget about where you're going to go for lunch. That's not what I'm talking about. Can we agree in the word? Can we agree that we need to be kind and loving and considering to one another and connected? Not connected in a, you know, fleshy, you know, level, in his level. See? But right now we are not even there yet. I'm counting myself with the group. We see each other outside. What is your degree of connection with that person? High and by? And when we have a conversation, it's not even meaningful. I mean, it's meaningless because there's just like a surface. You know, let me not get too deep. I don't want this brother, this sister to know what I'm doing because, I don't know, I've been hurt before. I don't trust anybody. And then you close yourself. You know, you got to squeeze one time. And you might get a squeeze many other times, but the more you get a squeeze, the more you smell better. You know, you squeeze that rose, and the smell comes. So it's for your own good. And if you get squeezed, and a squeeze. So the complete fullness, which is the bride, and God having preeminence. How will God going to have preeminence? Okay, you said, but God have preeminence in me. Good. Glory to God. What about the body? This is not an Eli walk with God. This is Eli. This is God walking with the body. That's what we're looking forward. We are working towards that. We are working. I do what I need to do in my own personal life. Like brother said, responsibilities and duties that God has given me. I will do all I can to be led by the Holy Spirit. But then when I come to church, and even when I'm home, I'll be praying for you, for you, for you, for you, for you. You got problem. You know, the body, the word of God says, when one hurt, how can you hurt when you don't even know what's going on with your brother or your sister? Are you that considerate with your brother or sister that you know what they're going through? Well, they don't, they just want to live like that and there's secrecy and they don't want to open up. But then maybe you need to come to a point that he will trust you or she will trust you. God can only do that. See? So, okay, I pinch my toe, or I step on a glass or in a nail, and I poked it. And what is the first thing? This guy go, ah! And this, ah! Whoop. What happened there? Okay. Thank you. So, when one hurt, you know, if I get an infection on my toe because I poke it, you know what happened next? The whole body gets a fever. The toe don't get a fever. The whole body suffers. That is the connection. That is the body connection. That we know so much and we care so much about each other that when one hurt, the whole body hurts. But sometimes what happens, the toe is hurting and we don't have enough feeling for the people. That's what Brother Branham happened. One time he lost the feeling. If we lose the feeling for the people, that's Satan. We will not care what's happening to anybody. Oh, you're cool. Yeah. Yeah, you worship and God is working with you and things are happening. But what about the body? So the toe is hurt. You know? Listen, nobody can disconnect you. If God connected you, nobody can disconnect you. Now you say, but the brother and sister don't want nothing to do. I try to talk to them, but I cannot connect with that person. You cannot connect. You know, nobody can separate. That's Satan. You need to figure out what you need to do. If you really want to minister to somebody and you want to be sincere and honest, the person will know. See? Because nobody can separate you from the love of God. And if a person is disconnected for a while, that don't mean they're lost. Because no one can separate anybody from the love of God. God still loves that person. They're going through some things, but they have lost the connection to the body. You know what is the first thing when people get in trouble? They don't come to church. You know what they do? They disconnect. Like this arm, if I dislocate it, then you're just there, you know. And I cannot send a message to the rest of the to move because it's dislocated. And there are some Christians that are dislocated. But you know how painful it is to put this when this shoulder comes out of here. You play football and sometimes you get dislocated, and they tell you, "Oh no, it's gonna be okay. Just look that way, and I'm gonna count to three, and it's gonna be all fixed." One. Sometimes it takes a little pain and a little hurt. Sometimes you get hurt trying to help somebody else. But when they see that you really, really care about a person. "Oh, I try." Well, you try, but that's not enough. Because you didn't really. You just want to be satisfied that you did something. Listen, my friend, when one hurt, we all hurt. And that's what the Bible says. We have come to so connection, so strength, we are really almost a body mentality that we know exactly what's happening. You know how to talk to somebody? You know that sometimes I can look at you and say, you know, I see your countenance. You know, something happens in you, the first thing you notice is in your face. Then you come to the church and you're not smiling. And you're not singing like you used to. See, I'm very observant of changes, you know. And then I said, something is going on here. And I cannot enter in worshiping because I'm worrying about my brother. We need to get it. So outside of my approach, I say, "Hey, how is it going? Is everything okay?" Not that I'm trying to be nosy, but, you know, I can help you something. I will, you know. See, but that is you connecting. Not waiting for somebody to connect. Well, I wait until they tell me that they need my help. Okay, see how that will work? See? It says, Brother Brown says, let me I'm gonna stop on this one. The sign of the time. He also said in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, let me finish this one. It says, evangelists see all that for the perfecting of the body, to bring us to that mentality. And in this body, every local body, he gave 9 spiritual gifts. So now we're not talking no longer about the preaching. Not talking about your gift. You are here for a purpose. You have a reason and you have a purpose of being here. And if you don't know what that is, find out what that is. Because God gave you something to edify the body of Christ. He says, and spiritual gifts. And those gifts are different kind of wisdom, knowledge, speaking in tongue gift, healing, interpretation of tongue, and so forth. Non-spiritual gift. And to show his love toward what? First of all, I have a gift, brother. I'm going to impart my gift to you because I want to show you that I love you. How do I show you that? I'm used by God to impart to you whatever you have need of. I didn't come here just to suck up. Give me. No. I want to know how much I can give. And for that, you have to be prayed up. For that, you have to have a good connection. And then you can be a service to somebody else. You are not sitting here for your benefit. The benefit is somebody else. So the gift, it says, the gift healing interpretation says, or to show his love first to the church. So if he wanted to show that love, well, you and I will do the same thing, showing our love to our brothers and sisters with what God has entrusted to us to help somebody else. Music, but you should be here. You want to make love to the church? Then you need to be here because he made love to us. And he gave you a gift so you can minister to somebody else. He says, so he wants you to stay in what? In order. You know what? The church is in disorder and disconnected and dislocated because they don't know how to use the gift. And if they have gifts, they don't even know what they are and they don't know how to use them. That's what we're here. To bring you to maturity, showing you what God wants from you, how he can use you, and what can you do so you can help somebody else and keep the church in what? So what do you think some people don't want the gift in church? And that's what I say. The gifts are here to keep you in order, to keep you clean. But I don't want it because I don't want everybody to know what I'm doing. That's the whole thing. But if the gifts are here, nobody will come with any sin through those doors. Did Brother Brown say that? One day, no sin will come through those doors. Why? Because we are going to be in such love. The gifts are working. People want to do away with the gifts. And if you want to know, this is 63, okay? People, if it matters to you, people want to do away with the gifts. That's why they have a disorder. And that's why I think this way, and I think the way, and I think the pastor, and I think this, and I think that. Why? Because they are not in order. The gift and the preaching brings the church in order and to maturity. So find out what your gift is. We need your gift if we are going to get out of here. He says, the great Holy Spirit himself being the tutor. Under the tutorship of the Holy Ghost, our gift will work fine. It's too bad we took Bishop instead of Holy Spirit to be our tutor. See, the Holy Spirit is the tutor that God gave to the church to raise the church. To raise the church. Not to raise Eli. To raise the body to that level. It's a body movement. To raise all of us. That's what we want. He says, to bring up to what? To the admonition of God. So the Holy Spirit freely set this gift in church and they perfectly operate. Operate how? The best I know how. The gifts are in the body and they're under the auspice of the pastor. Okay? You know, I'm preaching. You cannot get up and start speaking in tongues and somebody's gonna. It has to be done in. The gifts are to be in what? Order. Yes, we don't do, you know, things in this order. So they send order to this, and if you don't know it, talk to your pastor. If you have a gift, it has to be what? Proven. Talk to your pastor. How are we going to get this? Because I want to do this. I believe that I got this gift. It says, instead of the Holy Spirit is a tutor that God gave to the church. They rise the church up to bring up to admonition of God. See, no wonder it's in disorder. They don't even know what God wants. So the Holy Spirit freely set this gift in the church, and they are perfectly operating. If you won't get excited and try to just take what you think of yourself, see? So he says, if this don't excite you, then you're taking what you think is the best thing for you and your church. See, we are under the authority of the Holy Ghost. No man is in authority over another man. It is the Holy Spirit. The headship of the church is Christ. Amen. See? And these gifts are there to line up with his word. It behooves us to get lined up with him and to get lined up with each other. One more and I'll let you go. But speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth in love. There's another way to speak the truth. If it's the truth of God, you cannot speak about that way. There's any other way to speak the truth. If it is, then it's a lie. Amen. I only know one way. Brother, I love you, and I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to tell you the truth, even if it costs me. Even if it costs you or whatever. But always speaking love with truth. Amen. You cannot separate those two. And even if it hurts you, brother, I'm sorry, you know, I did offend you, but I didn't mean to. It was in a moment of I was low and I was out, and, you know, my dog died this morning at 9 o'clock. Not my dog, but my daughter's dog, and she's out of town. And I couldn't get no sleep that night trying to bring that dog back to raise him back up. And she started having seizures, and she wouldn't eat, and she was just thrown there. And this morning she started having seizures, and she died. Now, that's what happened this morning. That's where I was late. But I didn't want to put this wet blanket over you. See? You pray for Tina. Okay? I'm fine. But not all fine. I grieve. But you can grieve with me too now, because I told you. So, brother, excuse me. That's what I didn't want to bring it. But you are a body. And if you don't know what I'm going through, how can you help me? Why do we keep things from each other? All we're trying to do is help you to connect back with God and connect. Why would you think we try to destroy you? All we want is you to have life and have it abundantly and be part of something that you belong to. Out there by yourself, what are you going to do? Who are you going to affect? Who are you going to help? The help is when you come together as a body. So just play for Tina. She needs to get back, and I already told her. So I was late, and I was down. I didn't know what I said to you was, really, I didn't think about it, okay? But that was going on. And the brother says, I understand. Thank you for telling me. Don't worry about it. No sorries, no apologies. We love each other. Amen. So that's who I need to be with. One another. We need to feel this connection that I can talk to you and you can talk to me without reservation and without judgment. See, because that's one of the worst keys. You come to talk to me and now he comes again. He's going to judge me. If you are portraying that kind of projecting that kind of a feeling, people know. If you do care, you don't care. Be sincere. Be honest. Stand, because I'm finishing. Instead, we speak the truth in love. Growing in every way. That's the only way to grow. The gifts are operating. Pastor is and the ministry and the gift and the body is connecting. And in love, we are growing because we care for one another. He says, growing every more and more until one of these days we do like Enoch. We grow so much until we disappear. We walk, we walk, we walk, we walk, and we get so closer that we just go right in there. As a body, you're not living here without me. So let's help each other. He says, who is him, the head of the body? Christ. Tonight, I'm going to pick it up here, 16, from whom the whole body fitfully joined together and compacted. And that's one of the that I read. Because we are perfectly joined together, fit together perfectly. If we are part, you know, of one another. See? So, we are responsible for one another. We are responsible for your part. My part is to make sure that your part grows. How about that? Your part is that you make sure that he grows. How are you going to do that? We connect with a brother. My part is for you to grow, Brother JJ. That's all I care. Because if you don't grow, I cannot grow. As I'm helping you growing, I grow in the love of God. And as we help each other, we're sincere, we all grow together. Until one of these days, we keep walking, and when we make it and connect to that head,
we out of here. Yes,
let us pray. Father, we thank you. Yes. We love you. Yes. But how can we say we love you if we don't love each other to the point that we are ready to give our life? That's what the Bible said. A friend is one that gives his life for another friend. We don't have to actually physically give our life, but when we go out of our way to help someone else, we are giving of our time. We are giving of ourselves more than probably we expect of ourselves. But that's what we have to walk today. If we want to get out of here, this body has to come together in one whole piece so we can live all together. So help us, Father, to understand that this is not a one-man walk. This is a body move. And we need to move perfectly to the measure of our Lord Jesus Christ, to that measurement. I want to be like him. That is our goal. That is our way. That is our purpose. My purpose and my desire is your desire, Lord, that your purpose will be accomplished in my life. But your purpose in my life is not for take care of myself. Jesus came to be a servant, to serve others. He didn't came to serve himself. So how much more we say we want to be like you, then we better serve. And serving others and helping others is a gift. Maybe you don't have no gift, but you got one. You can help someone. But I don't know how to. What am I going to do? Let the Holy Spirit pray about it. You have a burden for somebody, pray about it. But if you come to church and you don't have no connection, you have no burden. We come to church and we have a burden for each other that we cannot depart, as Brother Branham says. We cry because we are going to separate and we're not going to see each other for a couple of days. Wow. Amazing. But that's the kind of church that Brother Branham saw. A church that was full of love, kindness, honest and sincere, and put gifts so the church can grow in order, ministry so the church can mature to that purpose. And then God and the bride will be same. Wow, what a goal. What do we have to look forward? Father, thank you once again. We with the family of God here and everywhere, Father, for those that you have called. For your body, the mystical body, because it's not a physical body, even though we have a place here, I love divine, and we have a group. But Father, we want to be connected to each other in such a way that we can have a feeling for one another, and we have love for one another in such a way that we want to come and help one another. That is my goal, Father, and I want you to do that. Help me to die out. I'm going to have to die out to my thought, to what I think is right, to my reasoning, to my purpose that don't take me anywhere. I find myself deeper and deeper when I'm trying to do things my way. I make errors and I fail. But thank you, Lord, that you are mentoring me through your Holy Ghost, showing me the right things to say and the right things to do. Let's be sincere and let's be honest with one another. If not, then our conversation will be so shallow that we have no meaning. Oh yeah, well, it's nice to see you. Well, it's nice to see you too. Bye. But thank you, Lord, because it is not us, it's not the people. Satan is just going around trying to break things. I mean, he knows the time is short. So what happened is he's trying to separate us because he don't want to come. If we come together, we go. He's just trying to make it as long because his time is already, you know, there. So he's trying to buy some time. And the only way he can do that is to slow us down. Because if we come together as a body here in this church, I mean, we talk about the mystical body. Forget about everybody around the world. If we cannot do it here, you ain't going to do it with nobody around the world to begin with. So it is here that we need to start coming as one body. So we can affect then the world out there. Thank you for my brothers and sisters this morning, Father. I'm not mad at them. I'm mad at the devil, actually. if I'm passionate about, I'm going to be in that kicking team, and I will be glad to kick them down to hell. I know it sounds like I'm a mean person. I'm not. If somebody's mean, it was him. Look at all the things that he done to me. But it's time for me to rise up as a group and start doing and calling what it is supposed to be what it's supposed to be. Satan, enough. Give me what you stole from me. Satan, this is the voice of love divine. And we are in one accord and with one mind and in one feeling. Satan, you have to leave. And you better give me everything that you stole from me. But it's going to be one voice. The pastor cannot do it all. I cannot do it all. You cannot do it all. Let's come together and chase that devil out of here. And then we can have whatever you can believe you can have. You can have it. You want your family? The voice which says, Satan, give it up. Don't try yourself. One can chase 1,000, but the group can chase 1,000,000. We need to come together and tell Satan, enough is enough. We are going to come together. We are going to live together. And you are going to go down and we are going to go up. And make every effort that we can. As much as we can. As much as we understand. To try to blend together. Because one of these say we all today are going to blend in eternity forever. Listen, my friend. You're not going to like me when I get there. You like me here. The way you treat me here, the way I treat you here, is the way that we are going to treat you. Listen, going to heaven don't change you. Character is here. And the, whatever character we go, that's the character we take. There's no changing when we get there. God is forming a character. God is shaping. God is forming. And that is why he wants to take character. The character of Christ. That's maturity. And when we get all there, we can kiss this world by. Because I know Satan's going to have to move. But when that voice says, Satan, move. There is nothing that can hold her because she will have, thus said the Lord. And when she opened that mouth, Satan going to tremble. Because it's not her. It is him in her one. One voice. Not two boys. Not one of the bridegroom and mine. Not my husband and my wife. We are one voice. And we're saying the same thing. Lord, come. Lord, come. Thank you. We love you and we ask you to be with our brothers and sisters for the rest of the afternoon as we go out and eat and we come back, Father, and we expect you to be here, Lord. I want you. When two or three come together, you are here, and I want you to be here. I want you to be in me, in the body. Because in me, I don't have all the gifts. But we need each other, because those gifts are going to keep us in order. It's going to keep us with the right attitude. It's going to keep us honest to one another. We thank you, Father, and we ask you to be with our pastor, and Jennifer, and families, and give them a good time, a good rest. Energize them when they come back. They're ready to go again, Father. In the meantime, we hold the fort. We love you. How? Because I love my brother and my sister. How? The way you love me. The way you love me is how I love. In the degree that you know the love of God in your life, that is the same degree you're going to love somebody else. So the more you mature, the more you will love. Because that is what God is. God is love. And the more you know about him, the more you know about yourself, and the more you act like him. We are growing together. Connected to you, Father. And we want to love you and love your body. Because who do not love their body? Who likes to have pain and suffering? I don't want none of my body, but parts of my body to suffer. So we don't want no one to suffer in this body. Help me. Help me to do whatever I can do to help someone else in their despair, in their suffering. And maybe they're not suffering, at least to extend a hand of service and help in any situation. Maybe they're not to be hurting or anything, but We need help. I don't know where we get this idea that we don't need nobody else. We need each other. We need the help of each other. How small, how big, it doesn't matter. Even if you give me a smile when I walk in church, thank you for the smile. Thank you for the handshake. Thank you for asking me how I'm doing. Then I tell you, you have an hour to hear me. And you should have. You should not never ask me how I'm doing if you don't have the time for me. That's not being sincere and honest. That's just a small talk. That's what Americans do. Small talk. There's no room for small talk in this bride. We care because you care, Father. Thank you once again. And in your precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. Let's sing that song. You are mine. What is it? Yeah, go ahead. I'm not a singer.
And together.